Hi, I'm Rusty Dornan, Marketing and Communications Director for Ulu Ventures. And on the call with us right now is Kevin Hofberg, a venture partner at Ulu, and also Eric Dunn, the CEO and co-founder of Rever. And we are pretty excited about Rever. Ulu just made an investment. It's an improvement AI software program, and it helps industrial companies tackle operational challenges. And how they do that is by engaging frontline employees in daily improvement and problem solving. And Eric has worked in 17 countries, helping companies build cultures of improvement. So it's pretty impressive. And very happy to have you here with us on the call and of course on the team. What's the big idea behind Rever? How did you come up with it?
So thank you, Rusty. Thank you, Kevin. I'm also very happy. The big idea behind Rever, It wasn't so sudden. It was thanks to some professional experiences that I had. You know, I was lucky enough to work at great companies like Toyota, the number one automotive manufacturer, which is very famous for their production system and how they engage everybody into increasing productivity. Then I worked at Airbus, the largest airplane manufacturer as well. And the big idea behind Rever is that, let's say, the time has come for solving one of humanity's biggest wastes, which is the waste of the collective creative potential of so many people. So think about it this way. Of the complete workforce around the world, 80% of the workforce are what we call frontline employees, the deskless workforce where it's not in an office environment that don't typically work with a computer, right? Meaning the people who are in the manufacturing shop floors, the warehouse, the field. And if you think about it, most of these people in factories are being just used for their motor skills, right? They have a pair of arms, they have a pair of legs, and they come to execute a manual job. And they're not being allowed or asked to use their creative capacity, their intelligence, their problem-solving skills, what makes them truly human. So it's one of humanity's biggest waste. You know, they're not tapping into the largest creative potential and creative resource in these organizations. So one of the things that we realize is that there's a huge opportunity to give these people a voice and to empower them to use their uniquely human skills. And that's what Rever's come here to do.
I know it's early on, but what are the impacts and changes that you are seeing in manufacturing, you know, using this kind of technique or platform?
There's a very gradual change that we've been seeing in the last 3 years that has suddenly become abrupt in the last couple months, right? With the whole coronavirus crisis and the aftermath, which is, it turns out, all of these workers that are now fortunately considered essential to the functioning of society, they cannot work from home. They got to gather in a place to come in and assemble things. So for a while, we've been helping these companies provide digital tools to their frontline employees. And it's very simple. It's mobile devices. And in most cases, all of these employees already have a supercomputer in their pocket. So it's a matter of allowing them to use these devices to access knowledge, to collaborate with one another. And the way that we're channeling it in Rever right now is by allowing companies to communicate to those employees what are the main challenges that the company is facing, what are the main problems that we need to solve, and enable those employees to contribute in solving those small daily problems and improvement ideas. So we're already seeing a lot of impact on these companies where it's like direct, let's say, dollar amount saving in their P&L that is recurring because there's a huge amount of waste happening in manufacturing daily. In many cases, they're focusing this on industrial safety, and especially right now in these times, it's around health of those employees. They're putting in place all of these measures on how to operate with internal physical distancing in these physical operations. So we already see those things. And the good thing is, beyond the immediate advantage of engaging and empowering these employees, which has a huge impact in their motivation and remaining more time with the company, which is a huge problem. They're generating, as a secondary effect, a lot of data, a lot of all of this knowledge that is distributed along all these people. We're gathering in a single place, we're making sense of it, and we're in a way enhancing the collective intelligence of these employees, helping the company derive insights of where the most recurring problems around the company.
You know, I think this sounds like something that we've all worked in an organization where we thought, if they would only talk to us, we could tell them how to run this thing, right?
Absolutely.
And, but so is it really taken? I mean, do these managers, I mean, is it up to a point and then they say, okay, well, that's enough. We've heard enough of this. We're going to run it the way we want. I mean, what are you really seeing?
What we see is that most managers do believe deep inside them that there is good potential in these people. Nobody has a level of distrust of saying like, oh no, we don't want to give too much power to employees. Everybody agrees that engaging employees is a good idea. Everybody agrees that enabling continuous improvement from the frontline employees is a good idea. They might be a little bit concerned about like, you know, I don't want people running around doing improvements all over my plant. Who knows how they use their plant, their time, maybe they waste some time. But what is always surprising for all these managers, even those who do believe a little bit on this, is they're always amazed at how people really do take on the responsibility. You know, these frontline employees are smart people, they're responsible people, they make good use of their time, and they're always surprised of how this trust is very well used for the benefit of the company and for the benefit, of course, of all the employees.
How can Rever help companies? You talk a lot about building resilience. How can Rever help companies build more resilience, especially right now during COVID-19?
Not only right now during these crazy times of COVID-19, but also what happens afterwards, right? If there's going to be a demand recession and a down economy. And if you look at the best companies, I mean, I was lucky to work in Toyota in the last recession, 2008, 2009. And it was interesting to see that while most other manufacturing companies and automotive companies were laying off people by the tens of thousands, you know, 30,000 employees being laid off in all these different companies, one of the only manufacturers that didn't lay off any employee was Toyota. Mm-hmm. Why was that? Well, several reasons. For a long while, they had already been preparing themselves to be very efficient internally, have a good cash position to protect the employment of their people. That's one. Second is in a recession, while most companies have the immediate instinct to lay people off and thinking that they'll save costs, in reality, the direct labor portion of the cost of goods sold is about 10% in many manufacturing companies, where when you look at other hidden costs, like the cost of poor quality, cost of productivity, that accounts up to 40% of the cost of goods sold. So you're better off actually keeping all your employees instead of reducing your workforce by 25%, channel that 25% of your workforce or 100% of your workforce towards eliminating these wastes, and you'll be much better off. You'll actually reduce more costs in the short term. And then when the cycle comes back up again, you'll be stronger than before.
You also talk about when the frontline employees that they're completely underutilized, that their creativity is often overlooked, and that if they were focused on, then you wouldn't have this incredible waste of talent. How can this be corrected with this particular group?
One first step is, of course, to give people a voice and ask for their opinion, ask for their ideas, but that's not enough. Actually, it can be counterproductive to just ask for their ideas and then do nothing about them. That can actually backfire. So yes, you gotta ask for their ideas, but at the same time, and it's a little bit harder for most companies, you have to empower those employees. And empowerment can be a very superficial and fluffy word, but in my mind, it's a very precise thing where you provide them a clear direction and objectives and the means to contribute to those objectives. So that's what we're providing them is a very simplified tool and workflow, and so they can collaborate into solving daily problems that are meaningful for the business. So having those two things in place, giving them a voice, giving them the means and the empowerment to act upon those ideas. And then third is the recognition. And this doesn't mean necessarily monetary recognition or big expensive rewards. People are reacting in a very positive way to just social recognition in front of their peers, in front of their families, and being recognized for coming up with solutions to the problems of the company.
It seems like the pandemic is really also speeding up this sort of evolution of the technology displacing workers, and many jobs may disappear permanently. How can Rever help what will be millions of folks transitioning into the future of work?
Yeah, definitely. That's an interesting problem that keeps us up at night. The advancements on robotics, the advancements on artificial intelligence might displace some jobs. I think that eventually prosperity will generate even more jobs thanks to this automation. It's not going to be immediate. And actually, I think this pandemic has proven that we're still a long way to go before we can operate a completely automated factory without people. We still need people for the long run. However, yes, there are going to be eventually some destruction of certain jobs. One of the main things that we got to do as leaders of both technology vendors and operations leaders in manufacturers is we must not leave it up to luck. There's a few things we can do. Number one is, how do we view technology as a way to augment the capacity of our people? How do we augment the capacity that people already have creatively, physically, et cetera, and augmenting it rather than just using technology to replace people and automate people? That's one. Second is, how do we help people transition into the future of work? And one good first step is giving them digital tools. I mean, today, most companies don't even provide their employees an email address. They don't provide them with access to the company intranet. So giving them access to digital tools, and then finally, allowing them to exercise what makes them uniquely human, which is the ability to solve problems, to think creatively, identify problems, and go ahead and find a solution for those.
Can you really do that? Make it recession-proof?
I can't do that. The companies themselves can do it. And I'm the first one to tell you, and to tell most of our customers, is that great technology and great software is no replacement for good leadership and good management, but it can certainly help. It can certainly help to drive the right behaviors that we're looking for. Now, how do you become recession-proof? By building resilience where your business lives and dies at the front line. What does the front line mean? Where your processes are being executed, where your people interact with your customers, with your vendors, with your product, where it's being built. So your business does not live in your spreadsheets or in your headquarters, which, by the way, today are empty. Everybody's working from home. Who's actually right now still working in the place? Your frontline employees. Why? Because they are the ones who create and deliver the value of your company. So there is where you need to build resilience. And there is where you become recession-proof, by building agility, by giving them tools, by giving them collective intelligence and memory to identify and solve the issues that they're facing at the front line.
Just to round out the story, in a real simplified form, Eric, just explain how Rever works. So it's in place in some factory.
Yeah.
Just give us, just narrate that story. Somebody gets a good idea and what?
The simplest way to explain Rever is it's an app. And the vast majority of our users, who are the people who are in the manufacturing shop floor, the warehouses, out in the field, the way they interact with Rever is with their own phones through an app. So what usually happens is people can, of course, while they're doing their job, they can encounter an easier way to do their job, or they encounter a safety risk that they need to solve, or they have a maintenance issue that needs a solution as well. And that's a way that triggers identifying a problem, but also can come from management. Management can see, like, hey, we have this trend across our factories where we got to solve, the quality of product X, right? And the management can launch challenges or campaigns in the platform. So this happens also in Rever, and people can participate and in a way kind of compete in these challenges. So whenever they see one of these issues as a frontline employee, I pull out my phone, or in many cases, it's shared devices in the organization, take a picture of the problem that you're trying to solve, and then the Rever app will guide that employee step by step into how to solve that particular problem. There's different workflows, simple corrections, problem solving, et cetera. But the app will do the job of acting pretty much like a coach of that end user. It'll coach that user into how to build a small team to solve that particular issue, how to select a supervisor inside the company that will guide them and approve what they need to get done, how to try things out, validate it, communicate with others in terms of what will be the modifications that you're putting in place. And everything is done in a very simple, intuitive way, in the, like the tools we're, that we're used to using as consumers, you know, Facebook, WhatsApp, Snapchat, now TikTok. So we're basing most of our interactions and our design on a very simple, intuitive interface that allows us to move forward. And as people move forward, they earn points as well. And these points are being used by the company to recognize those employees, et cetera. And usually by the end, once the team implements an idea, which by the way, it's done within the same day in most cases, at the most it takes them 5 days to execute and implement an idea. So these are very simple, just do it improvements. They also at the end of the process estimate what was the impact for the business, how much are they saving, where else could this be implemented and so on. And so that's the main workflow in the interaction with people. Then of course, Rever as a platform does its own little magic on the background where we're analyzing the data, finding similar, let's say teams across the organization that could benefit from the same solution. And then we make suggestions to those team leaders of the solutions they can re-implement. So it multiplies the benefit for the company.
Great. Wonderful. Eric, welcome to Ulu Ventures.
Thank you.
Happy to have you on the team, that's for sure.
I'm pleased to be part of the team and looking forward to the great challenges and adventures ahead of us.